I'd like to welcome everybody today. We have a number of visitors with us. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. If you need a ride back to where you're staying or whatever, let us know. We've got people going all different directions. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Titus, the second chapter. That is where we're going to base our lesson out of today. We will look at a few other scriptures. If you've got the outline and are following along, there's a few other scriptures we're going to be looking at. But we're basing our lesson from Titus, the second chapter. Paul wrote to Titus. Titus was a very close confidant of Paul, very similar to Timothy. And in the second chapter, Paul writes, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." What a wonderful passage. The book, the letter to Titus is tremendous. But this passage is wonderful to look at even on its own. Verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." When we start talking about the grace of God, we first of all need to understand what grace is. Grace is something that we don't deserve, and that's something we could not provide for ourselves. Grace is that free gift of God that without God's grace, we were not going to be saved. Case closed. Because we could not come up with a sacrifice worthy enough on our own. And God provided that grace for us through his son Jesus. And that it's for all. It's appeared to all men. It wasn't just for the Jews. For so long, God's people had been just the Jews. Or so they thought. They thought they had the market cornered on this relationship with God. And that was one of the stumbling blocks that early Christians that were Jewish converts had. That you can be a Christian without observing Judaism. It's appeared to all, and it is for all. One of the things we need to remember is when this was written, it says it has appeared to all men. Look at the power of the word. That in just a couple of decades, the word of God has spread throughout the world and has appeared and is for all men. And that's powerful. Romans 6, starting in verse 1, Paul also wrote to Christians who were in Rome. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There was a teaching There was a teaching there in the first century when people started understanding about or hearing about grace and being taught about grace. Well, if God's grace saves me, if there's nothing I can do, I'm free to just kick back and just take all the grace I need. There's nothing I have to do on my part. And Paul says, grace is from God. So what shall we say then? What is the conclusion of this? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. We don't continue in sin just to get more of God's grace. And Paul says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's the key right there. We get to accept that grace and take advantage of that grace when we're baptized into Christ. And if person A needs this amount of grace and another person needs more grace, do we just keep sinning so we can get more of God's grace? Paul answers that question. No, certainly not. I think the New American Standard says, God forbid, if I'm not mistaken. Forbid it, God. We don't just continue in sin that grace may abound. John 3:17, right after, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John keeps saying, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's grace. That's grace, because we don't deserve it. There was nothing we could do on our own to come up with the sacrifice that God demanded. And so and God has to punish us because he's God. He's just. If he wasn't just, he wouldn't be God. He has to punish sin. But because we could not come up with it, he loved us so much, he sent his Son. 2 Peter 3:9, the Apostle Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is for all. God would love it if everybody in the world that's ever lived would repent, be baptized, and follow him. We, just like God, knows that ain't going to happen. But God would love it if it did. And he's provided his Son for this person just as much as he's provided it for us. Verse 12, it goes on in Titus, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. This teaches us we need to change. That if we're baptized into Christ, there has to be change with us. That we don't just make it that we got wet. That there has to be a conversion, a change in us. We don't just keep going down that same old path. Anybody can do that. The world can do that. The world can keep living in sin. That's easy to do. There's not one of us in here that hasn't sinned, that hasn't stumbled. Hopefully we have repented. There is a difference in sinning and living in sin. If you're living in that state of mind where you're sinning all the time without that change, we're all going to stumble. There's not one of us that doesn't. But we can't live in sin. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 1:7 that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. But we have to be walking in that light for that to happen, for us to have that bond of fellowship with each other, for that blood to cleanse us. Change needs to take place. And Paul's not telling Titus, it's going to be easy to do. It's easy. He's not saying that. Teaching us that denying, you have to deny yourself. What did Jesus say? You know, daily, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It's not a one-time issue. It's daily. Sometimes, few times a day, we have to recommit ourselves. But we need to live in that godly way that God would be pleased upon. Romans 12, Paul wrote, I beseech you. That's strong language. I beseech you. I'm not just suggesting it. I'm not, oh, by the way. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. That's so easy to do. It's easy to be conformed to this world. But be transformed. That's change. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By doing that, it's the evidence to show that. When the high priests would go to offer the sacrifices, they weren't allowed to take sacrifices with blemish, deformed, unworthy. And Paul is saying, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, and it has to be holy. We cannot give a sacrifice to God of ourselves that's not holy. We can't live one life and then just turn it on like a switch and off on a Sunday. We live that life, and we present our bodies daily as a sacrifice that's worthy to God the Father. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have that hope. They did. We do. And it's not a hope, oh, I just hope such and such happens. It's not a wishful thinking where you say a little phrase and the little superstitions and stuff like that. And hope that something happens. It's not that kind of hope. This is that expected hope, anticipation, waiting for it to happen because you know it will. It's that knowing hope again Paul in Romans. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace through God, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. That's a whole lesson in and of itself right there. We'll save that one. We'll put that in the hip pocket for later. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. That's that hope. That's that hope that Paul's telling Titus about. In verse 14, he says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Jesus paid the price that we could not come up with. We could not present ourselves that holy as Jesus could. And the price was high. The Son of God paid the ultimate. That price is high. And so the things that God requires from us, the things He asks us to do, to live a righteous and sober life, to abstain from sin, not to live in sin, to not walk with one foot in the world and one foot in Christianity. I don't think it's too much that it, that's not worth the investment. The investment that was paid for us was pretty high. And the fact that He's redeeming us to be His own special people. Talk about self-esteem. To be His own special people. That's unique. Peter, the Apostle Peter, wrote in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are His people. And we get to, because of that, we get to proclaim that we are His people. We get to do that. And ends up in verse 15. Speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. We are commanded to teach others, to share the gospel with others. We are told to encourage our brothers and sisters. We are told to correct others. Some people find it hard to teach. I don't know what to say. You know what was told you? Share that. It sounds crazy. Some people find it hard to encourage. Some people find it hard to correct. Because I tell you, it comes right back at us. If we're trying to correct somebody, and if we're not toeing the line, it comes right back to us. But Paul is telling us, or telling us and Titus, you speak these things. Exhort, rebuke with all authority. It's not you, it's the Word of God. Let no one despise you. Paul told Timothy, don't let people despise your youth. Don't let somebody despise you. Oh, I'm only a this. Teach the Word of God. I'm only that. I'm just a housewife. Share it with another housewife. Share it with your children. Share it with people we work with. I'm not a professional preacher. I can't get up. No one's asking you to get up in front of God. Share it over the kitchen table with your neighbor. And let no one despise you. You have nothing to be ashamed of. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we have our nose in the Word enough, it will strengthen us. And it will give us that ammunition. It will give us those resources to be able to do what Paul is telling Titus. I'd like to end up with our verse, our passage, and just read it again. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. I hope Paul's message to Titus can be as impactful as it was on him. He was a great servant of God, worked for God diligently, and I hope the message can be as applicable to your life. If you need to respond to the invitation, if I know you've heard the Word of God today, if you've been here, you've heard the Word of God. I don't think I said anything that wasn't the Word of God. I didn't stand on any opinion or anything. It was just the Word of God. If you've heard the Word of God and believe it, repent of your sins, confess Him as the Lord and Savior, the Son of God, the Savior, be baptized, and live the rest of your life as a child of God, you can be saved. If you have not done that, there is no better time than right now to put your Lord on in baptism. If you have put your Lord on in baptism, and if you are a Christian, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you've stumbled, and you need to repent of sins. If your sin is private, privately go to God, repent. Ask God for forgiveness. If your sin is of a public nature, by all means, publicly repent. Let all know of your of your willingness to serve God and to turn your back on the sin. If you need prayers of the congregation, we are a praying people. And if you need prayers of your brothers and sisters for strength for yourself or for somebody else, by all means, let us pray with you. If you're looking around for a church home, if you've been visiting some congregations in the valley and would like to plant yourself with us and stay put and work and worship with us, that's great. Whatever your need, if you would let those come forward, let your needs be known while Curtis leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.